The House Committee on Transportation will come to order and welcome everybody. We have quite an agenda today, so we got to try to manage this the best we can. We're first going to do a brief overview on the license plate program at ODOT. And after that, we have a bill that we were asked about having accommodations for hearing impaired people. So we're going to hear that bill second, so that if they're watching, they'll have the opportunity, or if there's anyone here to do that. The Smokey Bear bill we have set, because we had a number of members interested in testifying on that. We are setting that bill time certain at 2 o'clock, so they can come in at that time. And we'll try to accommodate the members as they come in. And since we have so many, it doesn't look like it's unmanageable right now, but we want to be very conscious of the time, so we don't want to speak too long on any bills, so we can get everybody in. And with that, I am going to go ahead and ask Paloma Sparks to come up to give us our overview. Welcome. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Paloma Sparks from the Department of Transportation. Just going to try and give you a quick overview of the plate program at DMV. We have three primary types of plates that we issue. The general issuance, or the tree plate. Specialty plates. There are three different types of specialty plates. The Salmon, Crater Lake, and Cultural Trust, and the group plates, of which there are about 32. Every year, about 3 million passenger vehicles are registered with DMV. Of those, only about 315,000 plates are sold. So most cars aren't buying new plates. And of that, in 2008, of the 315,000, only about 10% of those were specialty or group plate sales. So the general issuance, as I mentioned, is the tree plate that makes up the vast majority of our sales. And then I'll focus on the specialty plates. Specialty plates are statutorily limited right now to three plates. That change was enacted in the 2003 legislature. And again, as I mentioned, it's the Salmon, Crater Lake, and Cultural Trust plates. To create a new specialty plate, there's a startup costs of about $75,000 to $125,000, depending on the complexity of the plate and some other factors. Highway funds can't be used for this purpose. Highway funds can only be used for a limited purpose. It's in Article 9, Section 3A of the Oregon Constitution.
Can I stop you just a second? Can I just want to double check if there's anybody in the room here that needs the interpreter. Seeing none, if our interpreter can maybe face us, the camera will get her for anybody who's watching.
Okay.
So I didn't want to miss anybody out there, but if we're looking now towards the public that might watch, this is, they'll get you. So, okay. Hold on, go ahead.
Included in my testimony are some examples of some pictures of the various plates we offer. Also, some information about distribution for both the group plates and the specialty plates. The specialty plates are, the salmon plate goes into a special fund. Same with the Crater Lake and the Cultural Trust. The surcharge amount is what funds those groups, so there's an extra surcharge. With the Crater Lake plate, only requires a surcharge at initial issuance, and the Salmon and Cultural Trust require the surcharge at issuance and renewal. So that's why the difference in Crater Lake sells more but doesn't make more than the Salmon plate. On the group plates, we have, like I said, about 32 different group plates. And They go to fund nonprofit groups that qualify for tax-exempt status or veterans recognition groups and institutions of higher education. The cost, the startup cost for these plates must also be paid for by the group who's requesting the plate. Again, there's a surcharge. It varies on what the group decides. The startup costs are about $26,000 for a new group plate. That includes the $10,000 application fee, which is mandated by statute. Ongoing costs are deducted from the plate revenues from the surcharge, and those go, and DMV is reimbursed, and then the rest is distributed to the groups. In order to get the $10,000 application fee, 1,000 plates must be sold each year, or in the first year, and then thereafter 500 sets must be sold every year for the group to remain active. If they sell less than 500 in a year, the group plate will become inactive, but we will continue to sell the plate until we run out of inventory. And the Veterans Recognition Group is somebody who wants to have a Veterans Recognition plate will have to provide proof that they qualify in some form. Often it's a discharge document. All those veteran recognition plates are aggregated together to make up the 500 sets per year requirement. Most group plates average about $5,000 a year. It depends. Some make a lot more, some make a lot less. And then I'll just give a quick overview on the custom plates. Custom plate fees are, I think, $25 per plate per year, and the revenues from those plates go to benefit the passenger rail transportation account. I'll just remind you that most plates are the tree plate, and also that only about 10% of those are group and specialty plates.
All right. Thank you.
And with that, I will be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions from the panel? So, not seeing any questions. You're hanging around, right?
In case we have questions. Oh, I'll be here all afternoon.
Thank you. All right. And now I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing on, I got to figure out this one, 2783. And Patrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2783 directs the Department of Transportation to issue an Oregon Trail vehicle registration plate and imposes a surcharge on issuance of the plates and directs revenues from the surcharge to be transferred to the Oregon School for the Deaf and the Oregon School for the Blind. It appropriates general fund monies to the department for startup costs for the program.
Martel Radford. You come up and yes, have a seat. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Byers and members of the House Committee on Transportation. My name is Martel Radford. I live at 1504 Northeast 17th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. I'm the one that requested this bill. I support this bill. I have two points I want to emphasize. The first one is Oregon Trail has broad, intuitive, appealing strength. What gives Oregon Trail broad appeal? It's because it references Oregon. When you reference Oregon, this determines the strength of the appeal. I mentioned intuitive. What does intuitive mean? It means it fits. This design, this plate fits. My second point is the Oregon State School for the Blind, Oregon State School for the Deaf, to support to support, it means that any human being would want to support this because it brings out the good in them. Chairman Beyer and members of the community, do you have any questions for Martel?
Any questions down here? I guess I have a question.
Yeah.
Most of the people that have brought plates to us because of the way we restructured our plate program, there is a fee that
yes.
has to be paid. Have you arranged for funding to do this at this point?
I have not arranged for funding. I'm not sure what you mean. I, in the past, have tried to get private funding. I was just trying to do everything I could to alleviate the funding problem. So for me to arrange funding, it's not clear to me what I should do.
I don't know. Yeah. And that's pretty much what most of these organizations have done, is they've gone out and raised the money among people so that they could have the startup funds to do these license
yes.
plates. And so I think that that's probably an important piece before a bill can move forward, is to have that initial funding.
I would like to comment on that. Important point here, but was never made aware to me. So it's hard for me to deal with something, and at the same time, I kind of rely on certain people, my representative or someone, to give me guidance. If that's the criteria or the issues that I need to make, then I need to be aware of them. And being naive is not a good thing for me to feel that. So I've done this in the past. I was here in 2005. And I was not aware of that. So I've done all I could. Again, I did try one time to try to get some funding for this plate, but I had to form a nonprofit organization for those people to fund it. But to finish this off real quickly, is just I wish that the people who start these bills have complete information regarding what they're supposed to do and have a better chance of becoming successful.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, thank
okay.
you for
yeah,
coming
I like,
forward
I would
today.
Just like to thank the support of Representative Chip Shields and Matt Wingard, and thank you for your interest.
Thank you. I appreciate your coming today. And I'm going to go ahead, since we get testimony on this one?
Here it's in
the... Is he here on this bill, though? I don't think so. Well, I'll ask. I understand Rep. Wingard's in the office. Is he here for his other bill? Are you here for your other bill? Thank you. All right. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill, again, 2783. Thank you. And... I'm guessing maybe, is it safe to say that we don't need sign anymore? Or
I believe it's probably safe to say, Madam Chair.
I think we're okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today. And I'm going to go ahead now. The other member sitting in the audience is Representative Garrard. And we have House Bill 3351. And I'll go ahead and open... hearing on House Bill 3351. And Patrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3351 directs ODOT to extend qualification of veteran status for purposes of purchasing a veteran's recognition registration plate to a person serving on active duty who served at least 178 consecutive days as an officer in the United States Military or Oregon National Guard.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm State Representative Bill Garrard, District 56, Southern Klamath County. This issue was brought to me, to my attention by a constituent currently assigned to active duty at Kingsley Field in Klamath Falls. It's a simple issue. I know you have a heavy schedule, and I'll be as brief as I possibly can. In Oregon, a military officer who is on active duty cannot get a veteran's license plate. That's the problem. An enlisted person can, but an officer can't. House Bill 3351 corrects this omittance and makes it so that Oregon's active duty officers can get a license, veteran's license plate. We've discussed the bill with the Department of Veterans Affairs, DMV, and the Governor's Office, and we have the support of all of them. Changing the definition of what constitutes a veteran officer, any active duty officer who has served 178 consecutive days of military service would be considered a veteran. It adds one sentence to amend ORS 805.105. This definition that we're proposing comes directly from the Governor's Military and Emergency Preparedness Advisor. We've discussed the bill with the Department of Veterans Affairs, the DMV, and the Governor's Office. All of them support the bill's passage, and we ask that you do the same, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Except from Representative Shoffler.
Oh, my.
Representative Shoffler.
All right. Well, I'm glad I have a chair that cares about me, Representative. So why did we leave officers out? Does the governor not like officers because he was a grunt in the Marine Corps?
I cannot speak for the governor, although I wish I could.
All right.
Basically, this comes down to a form. 214, I believe, is the form number. Enlisted men get this pretty regularly when they're discharged, but officers don't until they actually are mustered out of the service. And you need, DMV needs this form, I believe it is DD form 214. That proves you've been in the service and that you're no longer there. That's what an officer needs with the DMV to get a veteran's plate. This will enable officers to get the DD form 214 in the same manner that enlisted men get it, so that both are equal in their availability of getting a veteran's license plate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Gerard, did you check with veterans in terms of if this meets the bill that we've got, a veteran is a veteran is a veteran, regarding definitions and time served? Maybe, I don't know if Mac knows. Who does? Okay. We've been dealing with these bills in the Veterans Committee, and we've come across some with a number of days that preclude someone from getting a benefit just because it's not enough days or something.
Well, and Madam Chair and Representative Boone, the 178 days took us a while to work that out, but we did get that from the Emergency Preparedness Advisor in the Governor's Military Office.
Okay.
So that's where that definition came from. And that's really what the bill's doing, is establishing when you become a veteran. And so for legal means, it's 178 days. And I'm hoping that's acceptable to others who may be seeking the same definition.
Yeah, follow up. We're just trying to make sure that all the bills we pass out match in that term, so we don't have to keep going back and readjusting definitions, because we've found people falling through the cracks. They're like 2 days or 4 days short of being, you know, eligible because of that. So.
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, I'm more than open to any amending of this bill that would align it with what you finally decide as the definition. I have no problem with amending the bill to conform with that. So,
thank you. It sounds like you've gone through all the same channels that we are. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions, and thank you for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
For the bill, and we have Mac McDonald. Or it's McDonald. So what? I never have you in my committee very often. So. And I have initials, so.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mac McDonald. I represent the United Veterans of Oregon, which is 20 veterans organization, every federally chartered veterans organization, and about 100,000 veterans in the state of Oregon. 3351 we'd like to see passed with a couple of changes. It says officer in there, the DD-214 you get when you're discharged. Let me give you an example of why the way it's written, why it's not good. Let's say I'm a Marine from Camp Pendleton, a Navy man from San Diego, or an Army man from Fort Ord, and I come up here to Oregon, which is my home. I'm on active duty. I want to get a license plate. A military person does not carry the DD-214. He or she carries an identification card that has a date on it when it was issued. So that would cover the 178 days. So what I'd like to do on line 19, take out an officer and change it to a member of the armed forces. So it covers both. The enlisted man that comes up here or the officer could use the military ID card rather than DD-214. Military ID card is an identification card for all military and all military on active duty. And it'll say active duty on the card. Therefore, I request that change. The other change is a technical change. We all recognize them as veterans, but technically, a person's not a veteran until he's been discharged from the armed forces. When he's discharged from the armed forces and he's had the 178 days, he is a veteran. When he's on active duty, while we consider him veterans, technically he is not a veteran. He's a member of the armed forces. So on the plate, it wouldn't take much using the veteran's plate. Rather than say veteran on it, say U.S. Armed Forces on the top of it. That would allow this bill to go forward. It would allow people on active duty to have a U.S. Armed Forces plate, and it would allow the person, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, or whatever, to put the insignia of their service on the plate. But I think those two changes really need to be made. One, the one changing it to a member of the armed forces allows the man or woman who's on leave to come up here and get veterans' plates without having to go way back to his duty station to get a DD-214, which I never saw as an enlisted man until I got out of the service, and I never saw as an officer until I got out of the service. So I think those two changes need to be made in this bill. Great bill. I think we should recognize our people in the active armed forces, but I think those two changes should be made. And I'll answer any questions that anybody has.
Representative, been here. Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Probably a quick question, because I sit actually on the Veterans and Emergency Services, too. It might be worthwhile for us to take this forward or maybe get with Representative Garrard on this, but we probably should talk to Jim Willis on this as well.
I've talked to Representative Garrard, Madam Chair. I've talked to Mr. Willis, and I've talked to Representative Garrard, and they agree with the changes that I put forth this morning.
So maybe we need to get something to LC then. And Mr. Garrard's taking care of that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'd probably be a little more comfortable if you work with ODOT to make sure that we don't run ourselves into any problems if you were to do amendments to this and run everything by. And I don't know if anybody... we did get some testimony from ODOT, and I guess I have a question, I guess. Sorry.
Any other questions?
I don't see any more for you. I don't know if you want to stay there just in case something raises your interest. Yes. So in reading this, you need a bill, but you're willing to work with them on the language and then implement something.
For the record, Paloma Sparks from the Department of Transportation. It's really more about what the Department of Veterans Affairs wants to deem as acceptable. We worked with them. They dictate what form we can accept right now for the veterans' plates. It would require a change in the way the licenses are made right now if we did the U.S. Armed Forces as opposed to Veterans Affairs. Since this is the first I've heard about it, I can't tell you exactly what that impact would be. I'd have to get back to you on that.
Representative Shoffler.
Madam Chair, yeah, I'm indifferent one way or the other, whatever makes everybody happy. I think, though, the word veteran is a lot different than U.S. Armed Forces. I just hope there's not, because I wouldn't want anyone being confused thinking this vehicle is, you know, on business of U.S. Armed Services relative to it's a veteran's vehicle. That kind of jumps out at me right there, but I go either way.
Representative Shoffler, Madam Chair, I talked to Mr. Willis just an hour ago about this. He does not like to have the word veterans on the active duty plate because they technically, under the law, they are not veterans until they are discharged from the armed forces. That's the reason for the U.S. Armed Force rather than a veteran up there. If you want to put something else on the top of the plate, that's fine, but it should not be veteran on technically.
You know, I don't want to cut anybody else out. I think my concern is that once we start changing plates, we're adding, you know, we're moving out of our standard, military recognition plates and stuff. And I have to sense that there is a cost to doing that, and it's not going to be without some kind of a fiscal impact. So I think we need to be careful what we do, and I'd be happy to also kind of monitor how this conversation is going. And I also, in listening to Representative Boone's comments on the days, I do want to make sure that we aren't creating some confusion and different definitions of days as we're doing legislation this session, so I want to make sure that's clear. And thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else? Because I, to be perfectly honest, once you start talking about new plates, I shut down.
Ma'am, it's the same plate, just one, you know, just the word on the top is different.
Yeah, you're changing something, so.
Senator Boone is exactly right on 178 days.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3350. Oh, we didn't have, that was all, right? I see all these, you know, hats in the audience, and I'm going, were there other people that wanted to testify? I'm going to close the public hearing on 3351, open a public hearing on House Bill 2512, and Representative Wingard. Wingard. I'm doing well. It's Friday, so.
You're doing better than I am. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Representative Matt Wingard from House District 26. House Bill 2512 would create a group plate to honor fallen police officers and firefighters, which we're referring to as public safety officers. So it would be a fallen public safety officer registration plate. We have amendments to the bill because we've actually changed where we want the money to go. The money will go to the memorial, the public safety, the police memorial trust, which is a trust that oversees the actual memorial over at the public safety training center, I believe.
Well, there's actually, I'm Mary Nennenkamp. I'm a retired Washington County Sheriff's Office employee, and I will be here to speak as well, and I'll do the formal introduction as set. We have Sheriff Anderson who will talk to that piece of this.
So essentially the money will be used to create travel grants for family members of fallen public safety officers to travel to Washington, D.C., for the memorial ceremony that occurs out there on an annual basis, and an escort or escorts to go with them. So I will keep it short and turn it over to Mary.
Any questions for the good representative? My goodness, you guys, it's your chance, and you just...
it's our opportunity.
Madam Chair, we looked at the list.
it is our opportunity, Madam Chair, pardon me, to have... He said it so fast, but so many people
pronounce your name so many different ways.
But there is only one correct way, Representative
Byrd. Wingard.
It's Wingard.
Wingard.
Silent G. Wingard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was just
go
my
ahead.
Opportunity to make
my
sure.
Grandmother, a now deceased English teacher, thanks you for asking for the correct pronunciation.
We have the same issue with Representative Widener.
Okay. Madam Chair yes. Byrd, members of the Transportation Committee, I thank you for your time this afternoon. My name is Mary Nunnenkamp. I live at 4725 Northwest Columbia in Portland. I recently retired after 33 years of public service to Oregon, with the majority of those years with the Washington County Sheriff's Office. My husband was Detective Randy Nunnenkamp, who investigated child sex abuse and infant death cases, taught at the Police Academy, was a member of the Oregon Governor's Task Force on Child Abuse Prevention, and was named Oregon Child Abuse Investigator of the Year in 2006, just a few months before he was killed. I testify on behalf of House Bill 2512 in his honor and in memory of all of Oregon's fallen public safety officers. I'm here to show my support of House Bill 2512, which, if passed, will create the fallen public safety officer license plate. The income earned from the purchase of the license plate will go to fund families of fallen officers and escorting officers to attend the National Memorial in the year that that officer will be honored. The state of Oregon is no stranger to the loss of public safety officers in the line of duty. Either it being a police officer or a firefighter, we've had more than our share. Nationally, every year approximately 100 firefighters die while on duty. From 1990 to 2000, Oregon averaged 2 deaths a year. For police officers, the number is higher, with 133 lost last year. Over the past 2 years, 3 officers in Oregon have paid the ultimate price. We remember Marion County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Fredenberg, who we lost in June 2007, and Woodburn Captain Tennant and Oregon State Trooper Hakem, who we lost December of 2008. We honor the memory of these brave men today and remember their grieving families, friends, departments, and communities. Annually, police officers and firefighters who die while on duty are honored in a national ceremony. Washington, D.C. hosts the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, and Maryland hosts the United States Firefighters Association Firefighters Memorial. With the money raised from the license plates, we intend to send the family of the fallen public safety officer and escorting officers from their department to the National Memorial Service. With your support of House Bill 2512, Oregon will join Washington, Utah, and 10 other states in honoring fallen public safety officers with a license plate. Personalized license plates are nothing new nationally, with dozens of states boasting more than 50 such plates. It was 2 years ago that the House did the right thing in Oregon and voted to support House Bill 3161 that allowed veterans to purchase a group plate and honored Oregon's lone Medal of Honor recipient. While those plates were only available to former military personnel, this plate will be available to all Oregonians who wish to show their support to more than 20,000 public safety officers in our state. This license plate offers us a unique opportunity to raise funds for families to honor loved ones and also for Oregonians to show their support for our public safety officers. I hope to have your support on House Bill 2512. And thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. And Ms. Nunnenkamp, I hope I said your name right.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your service, and I think I can speak for everyone in the room. Just express our profound regret at you and your family's loss, and just thank you for the great sacrifice that your husband and family have given this state. So, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And I'd like to echo Representative Schaffler's comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, Sheriff Todd Anderson, Chief Ken Johnson, and I have Brian DeLashman.
Chair?
Yeah.
First.
No one wants to.
Chair Byron, members of the committee, my name is Sheriff Todd Anderson. I am the Sheriff of Tillamook County, the President of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, and the Chair of the Public Safety Memorial Board. The Sheriffs of Oregon support House Bill 2512 and the -1 Amendment and its recognition of fallen public safety officers, both fire and police. House Bill 2512 not only recognizes law enforcement officers, but it provides a much-needed funding mechanism to said families of those public safety officers, the honor guards, and the people who recognize those folks. There are two very different funding sources, and we need to keep them separate. The Public Safety Memorial Board, which I'm the chair at DPSST, actually takes care of law enforcement officers who are killed in the line of duty. It supports their families. It helps with health insurance in the first year and an immediate death benefit. In this, the actual funds from the proceeds of the plate would go to the Public Memorial Trust Fund. And this fund needs to be kept absolutely separate. And we saw the most recent results of this where, the families, the widows of the two police officers killed in Woodburn received funds from the Public Safety Memorial Board funds. But the state police actually had to hold a fundraiser to not only send family members but send honor guards to honor those police officers in Washington, D.C. this coming May. So the sheriffs of Oregon totally support 2512 and especially the -1 Amendment, which would provide a specific funding source for the families and the fellow officers of those who were struck down in the line of duty. Thank you.
Thank you. Real quickly, I can ask this question while you're sitting up here. The same question I asked on the Oregon Trail plate, and that is, have you secured the initial startup money to do this plate yet?
I don't know if that money has been secured at this point, so that's something we'll have to look into.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ken Johnson. I'm the police chief for the city of Fairview. I'm also the chairman of the Governor's Commission on the Law Enforcement Medal of Honor, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. The creation of a license plate recognizing fallen public safety officers would not only recognize the memory of the fallen officer, but it will also recognize the significant sacrifice of those that are left behind. Far too often it is the survivors that are forgotten and that carry on that pain, and this license plate would be an ongoing tribute to those members, to those individuals left behind. The 2009 legislative session is the perfect time to pass this bill and create a special license plate. Because as you know, we suffered a tragic loss just last December when two police officers were killed in Woodburn. What great timing and what a great opportunity to pass this bill this session. I spent 25 years as a law enforcement officer in the state of Washington, and several years ago, Washington created a similar bill or similar license plate, and I was amazed as I traveled throughout the state how many license plates I saw on vehicles that were the fallen officer license plates. So it is popular among a lot of people, not even in the law enforcement circles, that want to support us and the families of those left behind. There's no doubt that this must be the most difficult legislative session in history. We don't need to tell you that. This year you have an opportunity, at least with this bill, I think. It's not controversial. It recognizes heroes. It's the right thing to do, and we urge your support of this very special bill. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Brian?
For the record today, I'm Brian DeLeischmidt. I represent the Oregon Council of Police Associations and the Oregon State Police Officers Association. And the trooper and the local law enforcement that we're talking about are and have been my members historically. I've attended those services. I participated in the establishment, the original establishment of the Public Safety Memorial Fund. I'm excited about the continuation of that. But the one piece that I am now realizing with the -1, and was aware that the state troopers had to raise money to send the widow of Trooper Hakeem back to Washington, D.C., along with the escort, was that the Memorial Fund does not allow for or does not participate in the paying of that expense. So this would pick up that particular piece, and I'm glad to see the Dash 1 amendments. And with that, I'll end my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your indulgence, Sheriff Anderson asked that I come up. For the record, my name is Marilyn Lawrence. I manage the Standards and Certification Program for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. Our agency currently serves as staff for both the Public Safety Memorial Fund and for the Police Memorial Trust, and it would be our honor to serve as staff in administering this new grant program as well. The only purpose of my testimony is to be able to put that on the record and then to identify for you that the Police Memorial Trust is a small trust fund separately managed through the State Treasurer's Office. Its current balance is somewhere under $8,000, and I did just need to have that on the record so that you would know that any startup funds would not be available for reimbursement through that memorial fund at this point, or that the trust fund. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I did want to clarify one additional thing. Again, this is Brian DeLeishmet. The Memorial Fund and this trust is not just for police and fire. It includes public safety officers, including corrections officers, as well as parole and probation officers.
Thank you. Representative Schaffler.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. It's hard to say no to this request. I hope we don't, but how much is the startup money for this, Madam Chair? And I know we're in a difficult position here whenever we create another plate, but how much is the startup? Do you know?
The initial, and that's probably need some clarification for so I can ask Loma to come. They initially have to come up with a $10,000 deposit for initial startup. Now, the question is from ODOT. When it says in some of these, it says startup costs are expected to be around $71,000. That money comes out before money starts going into these other funds? That's my question. That's not on this one. That's on a different bill. I just had that in front of me, so.
Chair Breyer, the question is about the startup costs.
Right.
Yes.
For this bill, including the $10,000 application fee, it's $24,000 startup cost.
And the application fee up front is $10,000, and the additional comes out of the profits after that?
No, it's $24,000 up front.
Oh, up front.
Is the startup costs for creating the plate, getting it with all the programming ready, and then the ongoing costs that happen after that will be deducted from the surcharge revenues.
Okay. And committee, this was a cleanup bill that was done, and I want to say in 2005. I'm not positive because of the numbers of license plates that were coming in, and the department was fronting the costs on these, and then they weren't selling. So the department was continuously losing money. So what we did was we kind of cleaned things up, put in the original, if people want these, they have to pay the original costs on them. So that's a little bit history there on why these costs are there. So.
And then if I could, please.
Yes. Finish, yes.
Yeah, I would like to find out more about Washington State's in the next few days, if you could find out how successful that was, how many plates they sold. Because I can't imagine the general population up there and their sentiment of folks in this particular class could be any greater than ours. I imagine similar here in Oregon, I would hope. I mean, if there is a considerable number up there, Madam Chair, are we bound to insist on upfront costs, or can we direct the department, if we so choose, to waive that upfront deposit and go for it? Can we do that? I may be causing trouble for my chair here.
Yes, you are.
That's okay.
And don't worry about it, because I'm not going to let you do it.
Okay. Right. Well, there we go. That answers my question. But I would like to find out about the numbers in Washington, though. I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, so.
Chair Breyer, Representative Schaffler, the reason for having to pay the startup costs up front is the constitutional prohibition on spending of highway, the highway fund,
right,
on these for this purpose.
And Representative Boone.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Paloma, do we have designs for these plates, or is it possible, would it lower the cost if they took a plain plate, like, say, the tree plate, and just put a sticker on it?
The Chair Beyer, Representative Boone, the group plates are on the tree plate.
Okay.
And the startup costs includes a logo or words to the usually on the left side, but it still costs about that much as standard.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. And we have
Chair Beyer and committee. The question around
just identify yourself. Just
Mary Nettenkamp.
Yes.
The question around the $10,000 startup fee. I have already $2,000 committed to this, and great interest from police associations, sheriff's associations, and fire associations. I don't see raising another $8,000 to be a challenge.
Thank you. And we have one more person, so thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janoa Ingram. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief because I understand you have a 2 o'clock time certain hearing. I am Janoa Ingram, representing the Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association and the Oregon Fire District Directors Association. Both associations were surveyed. The boards of the associations were surveyed earlier this week. They did ask that I come and put on the record that they are supportive of the bill. They are aware of the amendments and the emphasis that the amendments make, the shift with regard to travel. The only discussion, just in case it does come up, with one of my directors is that there was a concern. He said, well, why do you need a plate to contribute? Why can't you just, you know, write a check to Crater Lake or write a check? And my response to him and to anyone who has a similar concern is that I would never in my, and I'm sure your busy life, ever take the time to go on the Internet and look up an address and write a check. But when I'm standing at the counter and someone says, would you like this plate? Why, yes, I do. And it's just that easy, and I would encourage passage of this bill. Thank you.
A question? Seeing none. Thank you. And that was all that were signed up, so I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2512. And there is
That's the time certain.
Which is, Senator, I think we can call people up and she can come in at 2 o'clock.
Absolutely.
So we'll go ahead.
Yeah.
House Bill 2901, I'm opening a public hearing. Sorry, I think we should have spaced these a little further apart. I'm having trouble.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Cell phones? Please shut your cell phones off in this room. I am sorry. I don't think about that too often because, you know what? I don't know that it's happened much before.
It's really bad.
House Bill, Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Go ahead,
House Bill 2901 allows the Department of Transportation to issue group registration plates for a group that promotes prevention of wildfires and directs the Department of Forestry to seek federal approval for the use of the image of Smokey Bear on group registration plates. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I will go ahead and welcome Senator Betsy Johnson and her friend and Representative Boone, if you all three want to come up here. And Representative Krieger, I think we can put one more person up here. Welcome, Smokey.
Here, I'll sit.
Madam Chair, is it any coincidence that Representative Shopler is missing?
Madam Chair,
For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16, and I'm joined by a colleague today, several colleagues, but my special colleague is Smokey Bear. Smokey came over from the Tillamook State Forest for today's hearing. Given the history of conflagration in the Tillamook Forest, the infamous Tillamook Burns, Smokey wants you to know how honored he would be to have his face on an Oregon license plate, reminding children to be safe with fire, to keep Oregon green, and raise a small amount of money for wildfire defense. Smokey Bear's written testimony is being distributed by the professional staff. We appreciate the opportunity to testify today, and we would be happy to answer any questions.
Welcome, and thank you. I'm surely Smokey needs some questions, Representative Shaw.
Does Smokey Bear got $25,000 startup fee for this plate?
Yes. They've been here before. Okay. They have that money.
Thumbs up, Smokey.
You got some money, do you, Smokey? Good.
Seeing no other questions, so Representative Boone, I better...
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Deborah Boone, House District 32. Tillamook. This bear is my bear. Without further ado, and to be brief, this bill is a great bill. I intend to have every person who has anything to do with fire buy one of these, all our volunteer firefighters, all our professional firefighters, and anybody on the board of a fire district in Oregon to buy this new license plate with our lovely bear's picture on it, and help us keep Oregon green. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Schaffler.
Would Smokey Bear know anything about all the damage his relatives are doing to some trees down by Gold Beach?
Madam Chair, they're on his wife's side of the family.
Thought I'd ask. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're very welcome. Representative Krieger.
Oh, boy.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair of Buyer Committee members. For the record, I'm Wayne Krieger, State Representative from District 1. I've been a member of the Keep Oregon Green Committee for some time back in the 90s, and every year I pay my dues to be part of that organization and want you to know that you can join, too. You don't have to be a timberland owner. The Keep Oregon Green has been in existence since 1940, and to reduce the number of human-caused fires in Oregon, currently forest land owners in Oregon give Keep Oregon Green approximately $61,000 each year to protect their natural resources. And this is on top of what we do as far as our fire assessments. We want to do this to help keep the program going. Last year, the Keep Oregon Green received $55,000 from grants that have a total budget of about $300,000 annually. The Keep Oregon Green just completed the Keep Oregon Green Ranger program at a total cost of $220,000, and most of that came from grants. This is a web-based program, is kid-friendly. Parents are involved and allow kids to discover Oregon's forests, learn about the careless behaviors of humans that cause wildfires and how they can be prevented. And it has been mass media advertising and is a very large part, an important part of the Keep Oregon Green Committee. These license plates are going to be very important in the future. The Keep Oregon Green, the messaging that goes out with all the advertising that is done, that's a lot of that's been donated to the program. The resulting revenue from this plates will be give greater emphasis on educating the public on how to create correct their behavior when they're out in the woods and in the forest, and it result in fewer man-made fires. It's a great program. We have meetings every year, and we have great participation and volunteers from not only the forest products industry, but lots of other landowners. This bear does look different than the ones on my tree farm.
Representative, I'm losing it today. Widener. So. Widener.
This is probably, I was going to say Representative Krieger, but we'll give this one to Smokey Bear. How would you feel about using dogs to hunt your relatives or your in-laws?
He's going to have to go into rehab after that question.
Madam Chair, if I may, Deborah Boone again for the record. This, if you all remember, some of you are old enough to remember, not Jules, but some of you are old enough to remember the original Smokey Bear, who was a real bear, who was had his paws burned in the fire, and became a beloved mascot for children around this state. And there are signs, you can still see them in some places, the tree with Keep Oregon Green, and we intend to make sure there are fresh signs up and make sure this bear's relative is well remembered. And it's a great program for our children, and this is something that's been going on for a long time. I remember it, and I promise I'm not going to sing the song, but I do know it, so... Thank you.
Representative Call.
And just a comment. Normally, I'm perfectly fine with letting Jules take the brunt of all the youngest member jokes, but in this instance, I am not old enough either to have remembered the original Smokey the Bear, and I just like to have that. I just like to have that on the record as well.
Madam Chair, as you heard, the program started in 1940. That was a very important year for this program. It happened to be the same year I was born.
So you do remember.
I do remember.
The original Smokey Bear. And after three sessions of hearings, I do know it's not Smokey the Bear. It's Smokey Bear.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shoffler.
Just one more question. Is that Representative Gilliam in that suit right there?
Smokey has been given the witness protection.
Oh, okay.
Although staff is learning the meaning of other duties as assigned.
although, Madam Chair, I don't know what Representative Shoffler means by inside that suit.
What suit, right?
What suit?
Thank you. I don't see any other questions, and thank you for coming to visit us today.
We appreciate the opportunity to appear. We hope you support the bill.
Mary Ellen Hawley, Mike Dyksel, and Charlie Stone. Welcome and go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing Smokey to visit today. Madam Chair, members of this committee, my name is Mary Ellen Hawley, and I'm the President and CEO of the Keep Oregon Green Association. I'm here today, of course, to ask you to please allow the Smokey Bear license plates. As I was going around to each one of you, and you, I think I've seen at least almost every one of you, if not you, your assistant who visited with you, we were able to receive 31 added-on sponsors, with Representative Boone being the lead, and we were able to have 20 senators sign on as sponsors. And I'm just so grateful that these people really do understand the importance of the Smokey Bear license plate bill. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. You've all heard from me. I just want to say that people cause fires, and 69% of those are in Oregon. 69% of all fires are caused by humans in Oregon. I want to say that very clearly. And I want to tell you one other thing that I will be working with the Oregon Burn Center on, is that they just let us know again this year that 60% of all the burns that they treat at the Oregon Burn Center are the result of backyard debris burning. And every one of the adults that come in there say, gosh, I've always used gasoline when I burn, and nothing's ever happened before. So, you know, in working with the prevention of fires, we're also going to be working on the prevention of burns. Smokey's message has always been, only you can prevent unwanted human wildfires, human-caused wildfires, and the Keep Oregon Green's mission is to reduce the number of human-caused wildfires. What better partnership could we find? I also manage the Smokey Bear program for the state of Oregon. I've worked with him nationally when I was with the U.S. Forest Service, and we treat the bear with all respect. And I thank you again for letting me appear before you today, be willing to answer any any questions when the time comes, and please do pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Beyer. For the record, Mike Deichsel, Director of Forest Protection for the Oregon Forest Industries Council. Obviously a very tough act to follow here today, so I'll be very short. As you can all imagine, wildfires are increasing in cost and complexity all the time. If there was such a thing as inflation index for fire suppression with air tankers and helicopters and crews, as measured by overall gross protection budget, it's about 2.5 times higher than the standard CPI index for bread, milk, and eggs, and butter, and that kind of thing. And so, in this climate, it's a very difficult choice anymore. We all agree that prevention is the cheapest way to prevent a fire, is by taking care of it that way. But when it comes down to your last dollar to know whether you need to buy a shovel and a hose or you need to buy a prevention flyer out there, it's kind of a tough choice for us. And this is an excellent way, a very creative way for the general public and all those that appreciate and recreate in natural resource areas to show their alliance and with Smokey Bear. It's just a natural message on Oregon's tree and mountain plate to have Smokey's image there. So it's my third time testifying for the bill. I hope we get it out this time. And my closing remark at the end of the testimony is, remember, only you can move the bill.
Good afternoon. Chair Beyer, members of the committee. I'm Charlie Stone, representing the Department of Forestry and also a Board of Trustees member for the Keep Oregon Green Association. I don't really have a whole lot to add to what folks said. Mike kind of took the words out of my mouth in terms of spending millions every year to suppress fires. What an easy way for the legislature to act to save some of those millions of dollars, with Keep Oregon Green Association already ready to front the money for these license plates, and to have, we think, thousands of little fire prevention billboards on the backs and fronts of cars that will have that message in front of people all the time. The Department of Forestry strongly supports this bill, and the little piece in the bill says that the Forestry Department will have to get permission from the federal government. We stand ready to do that, and actually it's the Forest Service, the National Association of State Foresters, so we could give permission, and the Ad Council that controls Smokey, but we'll do whatever it takes to get this bill moving. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to further education of our younger representatives, Call and Bailey. The tagline, remember, only you can, was prevent forest fires.
I did take a little liberty there.
You did, but it was a good one.
And the one thing that I would like to clarify, too, if I may, Chair Beyer, is that Keep Oregon Green manages the BEAR program for the state, but we will need to be licensed by the Smokey Bear licensing, and I think that was basically the purpose of getting, the Oregon Department of Forestry involved. It really didn't happen, but they are the ones that let us manage the BEAR.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions, so thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And given that, I am going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2901 and open the public hearing on House Bill 2770. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Chris Edwards. I'm a state representative from House District 14, representing West Eugene, Santa Clara, and Junction City. I thank you for hearing this bill today. House Bill 2770 would task ODOT with designing and issuance of a license plate that indicates that the owner of the vehicle is a person with a disability. This disability plate would also serve as their disabled parking permit. In order to receive the plate, ODOT would have to, the application would have to be filled out to ODOT that would need to include a certificate by one of the following individuals, either a licensed physician, a certified nurse practitioner, or a licensed physician assistant. I came to this bill, and the reason I bring this bill to you is in talking with a constituent of mine who is permanently mobility impaired. in our conversation, he mentioned to me that he would very much like to see this concept move forward because he currently has a placard that he hangs in the window of his car, but that placard is not visible if he's broken down by the side of the road. And so from a safety, his own concern for his ability to get help, he thought that perhaps having a plate like they do in Washington, California, already, and that's my understanding. I have not confirmed that fact, but I'm told that both Washington and California already have disability plates. Having a plate would certainly increase the chances that somebody would come to his aid if he were broken down by the side of the road. It's a fairly straightforward bill, and I will leave it at that, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad I'm not the first thing on your mind today.
It's that E. I just, you know, you should be spelling it W-I-E. So.
That'd be Widener.
That is correct, actually.
Representative Edwards, just a quick question. The problem I can see with the plate versus the placard, I actually have a father-in-law who is disabled, and when my wife goes and picks him up, he can take that and put in her car and use it for parking. And then when my sister-in-law picks him up, he can use it in her car. So it's mobile, where if you just have it on a tag, and he can't drive himself anymore, but it gives him the opportunity to use it in different vehicles with different relatives that take him shopping and things like that. So I'm not sure if a plate would be the ideal answer or not for this. Plus, it's pretty small when it's on a plate, unless it's we do something neon or something like that for people going by. So,
Madam Chair, Representative Widener, I share some of those concerns, and I'm not sure that I am not proposing that we get rid of the placard, but rather make this an option and for the permanently
and
disabled.
or both.
So,
Representative Schaffner.
Thank you, Representative. I didn't even know today that you had an upfront cost for a plate change until just today myself. Folks supporting this, do they have any resources to pay the upfront cost for this? And I see nothing precluding us from handing out a placard along with the license plate. But my question is, do they have money, upfront money? Do you have any idea?
We have not put forth an organized effort to come up with the upfront money. I think the upfront money sits in the general fund of the state of Oregon. And if this committee or the Ways and Means process determines that there's not enough of that money to go around and cover costs of programs like this, I'm confident that my good friend from Happy Valley knows where we can find more of it.
Well, we give her a good shot. I'm confident of that.
Yes.
has to do with rivers and forests.
Yes.
Amen to that, brother.
I don't see any other questions, so you're off easy unless you want to hang around and see what else arises.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rips.
I have Kevin O'Reilly.
Kevin's the perfect man.
I bet his wife would like to hear that.
Chair Byer, members Welcome. Of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Reilly. I'm here today representing the Oregon chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. And believe it or not, we oppose the bill, and there's a reason for it. We're worried about enforcement, and there's already a lot of... Unfortunately, there's already a lot of abuse of the placard in the parking, the disabled parking permit. And this would just give another avenue for that. And unfortunately, I don't have a copy of the bill in front of me, but I believe it does allow for a license plate and a placard to be had together. And that, of course, would open up. Now we have two things floating around, and so if my son, who is a good kid, but at times he doesn't think very well, and if he grabs my truck and goes for a drive that has the plate on it and I have the placard and I'm with the wife in her car, then he's going to park in the accessible spot because, again, he's a good kid, but he's not very bright. And that will remove that parking spot from somebody who actually needs it. So that's our main reason to oppose the bill. The good representative had some good points there, and one is, an emergency issue. I would think anybody who saw a car disabled on the side of the road would notify the appropriate authorities, and hopefully the guy has some sort of a AAA membership and would make a phone call. But
thank you. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. Kevin, do you know anything about Washington or California's program and any widespread abuse there?
I try to avoid California as best I can. I know that we used to have, in Oregon, we used to have a plate and a placard system. You had one or the other. And they did away with that for just the placard because of its portability. Washington used to have only the plate, and then they went to the plate and a placard system, and I don't know if they changed since I've been there in 10 years. I don't know where they've gone since then. But I think they've gone to the placard-only system also. Don't quote me.
I don't see any other questions, but I do, on this particular issue, I think, unfortunately, the disabled placards themselves can be a black market item. There's quite an interest in getting those. So, and my concern also is with his, is that if you have a plate on your car, you just can't always control who's driving it. It's not always going to be you. And so I think it doesn't control the spaces and the accommodations for other disabled people. So
it's unfortunate. But
given that. No one else popped up, so all right.
Well,
thank you
all very much, and have a lovely afternoon.
And we outlasted our last person, so she's not here anymore. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2770. And House Bill, I don't see any of the other members in here now, so we'll just go to House Bill 2021. And Patrick, open a public hearing on 2021.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill, House Bill 2021, allows former prisoners of war, recipients of the Congressional Medal of Honor, recipients of the Purple Heart Medal, and certain family of armed forces members killed in action during armed conflict to register a vehicle by paying a one-time $15 registration fee.
Okay. Mac McDonald. Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mac McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. What this bill does, it allows certain individuals that served in the armed forces and paid a higher price than most of us to pay a one-time fee for a license plate. We have one Medal of Honor recipient in the state. He lives in Bend. So that'd be just one plate. We have less than 50 ex-prisoners of war in this state. Three of them are from Vietnam, all the rest are from Korea and World War II, so they're my age. And the cost would, for the one-time payment, wouldn't amount to very much. For Purple Heart recipients, those wounded, combat wounded, we have several, but they already rate the disabled plate, which is a one-time plate. It just allows them to transfer a disabled plate to a Purple Heart plate and recognize that they were combat wounded. And for the Gold Star plate, that's for just those people killed in combat for their dependents. I don't know how many there are in Oregon. There are too many. But this would allow them to have a one-time payment for a plate. Since we already have the one-time payment for the disabled plate, and this is just recognizing those people that have gone above and beyond and given them a one-time plate. I'll be happy to answer any questions. And incidentally, we have ex-POWs, Purple Heart recipients, veterans from VFW Post 1442 and 661 in the room, and Merchant Marine veterans in the room. So we have people that represent those people that will receive the one-time plate. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
Madam Chair, only just to thank those folks that are in the room for their service. Just wanted to, I think I speak for everybody here about that too, so.
Yes, I think I also want to echo for the committee. In this, what it appears that you're doing is it's not even a $15 fee on top of the regular registration to have it go for lifetime?
I have a disabled plate in which I paid a one-time fee. I think at the time I got it, which is a few years ago, $17. And that plate is a permanent plate. I hate the plate. It's yellow. and the plate will last as long as I live. If I'm deceased, my wife can have it as long as she lives, and then the plate's gone. But widows or widowers or veterans that have a plate can keep that plate until the close dependent is deceased.
And how long have you had your plate, did you say?
Oh, my God. Well, I served 28 years, and I've been out 30. So I've had it approximately 30 years, or whenever the plate came into existence. I know I was not representing veterans when I got the plate. But I've had it for a number of years, won several cars. As I transferred and get a new car, I put the plate on. But I've had it for several years.
And I'm
100% disabled.
Right. And I'm not doing this to be rude or anything, but... And you paid $27 for it?
I think I paid $17.
$17 at the time. So, and now you're wanting to get it even... people to get it even at a lower cost.
No, ma'am. I'm not asking for a lower cost. They will pay what the Department of Transportation says they'll pay one time. Then the plate is a permanent plate thereafter.
So there's not an amount in the language of the bill?
There's not an amount which the Department of Transportation, they would probably charge the same thing they'd charge me if I was to turn in this plate and get a new disabled plate. I pay that probably that same charge.
Okay.
And there's not that many people involved in that would receive this. It's just those people, Medal of Honor recipient, Purple Heart recipients, ex-POWs, and Gold Star family. And the Gold Star family has to be a veteran that was killed in combat.
Okay. And Representative Widener.
Essentially, it would be whatever the fee fluctuates. So it would probably transfer if it's $150 at one time, it'd be $150.
Okay, I just picked this up off of the measure summary, so we'll let him clarify.
I'm looking at it.
Okay. Representative Edwards. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Madam Co-Chair, there are figures listed in the bill itself on page 15 under section 11, subsections 27 through 30. The fee is listed at $15 in each case.
Thank you.
Okay, so he's not crazy.
We're starting to warm
him up. So it is. It would have to be amended, probably, because you have listed a $15 fee in the bill.
That's up to the Department of Transportation.
At least the Legislative Council listed a $15 fee in the bill. So, okay. Well, and I guess it wouldn't necessarily. It would have to depend on what the committee had an interest in. So,
I want to point out there's no expense really to the state to do this. It's just future expense in that they wouldn't be renewing a plate.
Right. Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Madam Chair, well, we lose a little revenue because you don't have to get tags on this plate, but you'd still have to go through DEQ and get your driver's license renewed. But you don't have to purchase tags every 2 years?
No, you don't have to purchase it. Once you get the plate, that would be your plate for life.
Right. But, Madam Chair, for me.
Yes.
But you still go through DEQ and all that stuff.
Oh, yes. You have to do everything else. Right. And it's not a new plate because we already have veterans' plate. They just... Rather than say Medal of Honor recipient, they did say veteran and it say permanent on the side, like my yellow plate
right,
says.
Right, right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is really bad Matt, because you're up here, I think you'll be the guy to know. Are Gold Star families just for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, or do they go back to all wars?
No, ma'am, they go back to all wars.
Okay.
I lost a brother in Second World War.
Okay.
So my family was Gold Star family.
All, okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. I have Paul Brown.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm here today in support of House Bill 2021, and the department would echo some of the sentiments of Mac McDonald, who is a veteran, served our country honorably, in that when we're talking about our prisoners of war, they suffered tremendous tortures and atrocities that sometimes are unspeakable. They did that happened during their time of imprisonment, and they came back with those emotional and mental wounds. And so certainly, you know, we have a great deal of gratitude for their military service. And the Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, again, Mr. McDonald, indicated that there is one who currently has a Medal of Honor license plate. We did have a POW who was here in the hearing room, Mr. Dean Christensen. He had to leave, but I did want to at least recognize on the record that he was in attendance today in support of the bill. And then again, when we're looking at the Gold Star families, of course, these are families who have given all that they could give through the life of their loved one. And then the Purple Heart recipients, Mr. McDonald made a very good point in that these were combat wounded veterans who came back with disabilities, many of whom would qualify for the permanent disabled license plate already. And the department would be happy to work with the Department of Motor Vehicles or anybody else on the issue of the license plate. But we are in support, and if this committee and the legislature, it's really a matter of public policy how Oregon continues to honor and recognize their veterans. And I appreciate your time, and we'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Shoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I have a series of quick questions. Do you have any numbers on how many folks this would be? It would represent a small amount of lost revenue, but I learned this year, too. For every dollar we spend in this state, we get $162 back from the federal government for every dollar we spend on veterans. Could this money go towards that as a match, the lost revenue in providing these license plates? I don't know. That's a fine question. I don't know if you have the answer to it or not, but...
Madam Chair, Representative Shoffler, I can tell you that the current veterans license plate, the revenue from that plate actually goes to the Oregon Veterans Home. So the Oregon Veterans Home does get some revenue from the veterans license plate. For the Purple Heart number, I can tell you that their number is less than 500 because last session there was an effort to consolidate the veterans license plate so that they would meet that 500 requirement. It certainly seemed a little unfair that somebody, a combat wounded veteran, could no longer get their Purple Heart plate simply because there were no longer enough of them living and renewing plates, or enough of them who had been wounded that were renewing those plates. So fewer than 500 on that one. And we could certainly try to get you some numbers for the casualties for Gold Star families.
I'd appreciate it. And one more, please. And I don't think I made my question clear. Let's say whatever the fee is that we would be, you pay the initial fee to get the plate, but then every 2 years, us regular folks who, I don't mean that in a demeaning way, who are not us non-veteran folks, we go in and get ours renewed every 2 years, I believe it is, for new tags. So we'd be waiving that fee to this class of folks. My question is, could we keep tabs of that and make that look like an expenditure on veterans and then take that amount of money and say, we spent this much money on veterans, we want to get that $162 for every dollar we spent in this area of budgeting. Do you see where I'm going with this? Because if we could, we wouldn't be out anything. Mm-hmm. In fact, we'd be getting a whole lot more money back.
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, I would be happy to go back to the department and try to take a look at that. I think it's a great idea. I see where you're going with that now.
Right, because it is, and if I may, it is an expenditure. Any way you look at it, it would be an expenditure.
Thank you. And I just want to clarify, it really isn't the ongoing that I have that many concerns about. It's just that I would like to know that at least when they originally get their license plate, they're paying at least the cost of getting the license plate. And it's not, and we all know that the Veteran Services are underfunded, and I would hate to sit here and say I want to take more of their money just to put back into ODOT. I mean, and I want to make it clear that is not, you know, was not my line of questioning in this, and I'm not sure I'd even want them to do that much research on this, because again, you know, the money needs to go where it can do the most good. And that's what I would want. So, Representative Weiner.
Madam Chair, I can guarantee you anything that Representative Schaffler says, we don't stick to you.
Madam Chair.
Sorry.
Yes.
yes. I think the part that I want to just kind of make a little bit clear is that I don't believe that the folks who have these plates, I don't believe it was their intent that they would only pay the $15. I believe that if we got together with those groups and had a discussion, I believe that they would be fully support a one-time fee for that license plate at the cost that was set by the Department of Motor Vehicles. I don't think that would be a problem.
Okay, thank you.
If I may, just real clear here. I'm talking about every 2 years, as long as that plate's in existence, that would be an expenditure of X on that veteran or their dependent. And we could keep track of that as long as that plate's in existence. And for every one of those dollars, if it qualifies, because it is an expenditure and a benefit to veterans, mm-hmm. we'd get $162 back. And I'm not interested in that money going to ODOT. I'm interested in that money going to veterans and veterans' families within the Department of Veterans Affairs. That's where I'd want that money to go.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're both misunderstanding each other.
Well, we'll get there, Madam
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this one I think ODOT would like to testify on, so we'll bring Paloma up. And
try and be quick. The record, Paloma Sparks from the Department of Transportation. Just want to try and explain a couple things. So in the bill, it does say $15, and I think there would be a $5 process manufacturing fee that we would collect at the time that somebody applied for one. There's the existing veterans plates, the way DMV understands the way the bill is written, would not be used for this. This would be a new plate configuration that would go on the tree plate background, except for the Congressional Medal of Honor plate, because there's only one and it's a custom plate. And we would have, there's the way the veteran plates are right now, there's not enough room for us to get permanent on there as well as the other information that's on there. You know, we're happy to sit down and talk to people and figure out some way how this would work, but I just want people to know.
So I'm guessing that in the back they're saying that no, it wouldn't be on the tree plate. So ODOT's reading of the language is
that we would need to make a new plate and we would put it on the tree plate as a different kind of plate. It wouldn't be a group plate. It would be a permanent registration plate similar to the permanent disabled plate that we have for veterans right now.
Okay. So I will go ahead and allow Mr. McDonald to come back up for a minute. Representative Weidner.
Real quick, the intent that I got from the testimony and looking through this is what they're wanting is like the Purple Heart plate, the Gold Star plate, Medal of Honor plate. I wonder if we could, rather than having a year and date, if we had a sticker that just said permanent that went in that position, rather than when they need to re-register and just say permanent.
Uh-huh.
And that might be the easiest way to correct this. And I guess Mr. McDonald can tell me if I'm wrong, but they just want to use the existing plates that are there that represent what they went through. There's POW plates already in existence.
So right. I'm sure, Representative Widener, Chair Beyer, I'm sure that the staff at DMV are happy to look at all the options and see what can be worked out.
Mr. McDonald.
Chairman Beyer, representatives, in no way do we want the pine tree plate. We want the veterans plate. And veterans are emphatic that they want the veterans plate for everything. And right now we're in the process of administratively trying to change the disabled plate, permanent plate, to a veterans plate. But we're trying to do that by administrative rule. Okay. Veterans want a veterans plate. That's the reason we got it in the first place. And anything else, if we do anything else, I might as well go to the nearest yacht arm and hang from it, because I'd have telephone calls left and right on it. They want a veterans plate for veterans.
Okay. With that, thank you. We'll go ahead and do a little research on this bill and see what's going on. And with that, unless I see any other questions, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2021. And we have Representative Maurer has joined us, so we'll go to House Bill 2454. And I'll open a public hearing on that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If Andrea Meyer may also come forward, I'd appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
Madam Chair, Representative Ron Maurer, House District 3, State Representative. And I'm going to show you some license plates that are on the road today. And you can tell me which license plate you believe was found to be offensive or derogatory, and what's handed out to you, unfortunately, gives the answer away. Thank you, assistant. Okay. And we had a situation in my district. Oh, have we identified which one was found to be offensive?
I don't know.
I'm guessing it's one.
I'm offended by all of them.
I know.
My delicate sensibility.
Representative, isn't that your license plate?
It's not this
Family
one.
Family makes a joke. I don't own a car.
Wasn't this one? That's okay. Wasn't this one. Wasn't this one.
I feel like Carol Merrill.
Wasn't this one. He's the guy I graduated high school with. It was this one. UDINC 4 was found to be offensive by Department of Motor Vehicles. House Bill 2454 would ask that last names that are identified on someone on your driver's license, as long as it fit parameters that would fit on the license, fit on the license plate, would be permitted. Just to give you a little history, in the year 2000, the UDINC family requested a license plate UDINC 1. It was approved. In 2004, UDINC 2 was applied for and approved on the vehicle. In 2006, UDINC 3 was applied for and approved. In 2007, UDINC 4 was applied for, and I won't mention the name during testimony, but you can see the name highlighted, who in 2007 all of a sudden said that this UDINC 4 was derogatory. Is the same person who said in 2006 that it was acceptable, and in 2004 said it was acceptable. The point is that this process is somewhat arbitrary. It was a big deal in our local newspaper for a couple weeks, and the outrage, things died down. But the bill was submitted as a result of that little situation. We worked with the Department of Transportation, and they chose not to reconsider. And so that's why the bill is brought for you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
questions? Representative Shaw.
Madam Chair, I can't resist. Forgive me, but Representative, what makes you think I'm going to vote for this bill? Sorry, Representative. I have great sympathy for the bill and your family, your district. I just couldn't resist.
In relationship to another bill, I'm just stirring the pot.
Attaboy.
Did you have a comment, Representative Cole?
No, I'm going to show great restraint for a change and not comment.
Andrea. Thank you, Chair Byer, members of the committee. Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. When this happened, actually, Representative Maurer called the ACLU and contacted me and said, what is up with this? Can we do something about it? And I said, unfortunately not, because ACLU had challenged the administrative rules upon which this is based, OAR 735-046-0010, on behalf of our client, who is a wine connoisseur and wanted a license plate that either said wine, in vino, or vino, all of which were denied because there is a restriction on drug and alcohol references in the administrative rules. So unfortunately, and the court held that it was not the free speech rights of the individual seeking the custom vanity plate, but instead government speech, and they could regulate it. We remain concerned about the administrative rules and their broad language. They won't allow words that have the effect of alarming, threatening, offending, or misleading a reasonable person. You cannot also refer in an alarming or offensive manner to a person or a class of persons on the basis of race, color, gender, ethnic heritage, national origin, or other characteristic. And that's very broad language, and the problem when you have very broad language is it's vague and it's hard to administer, as we found here. So we certainly support this provision in terms of people's last names and making some headway along there to allow for an individual's last name not to be considered offensive.
And this was not, this last name, Udink, was not or is not a court change. They didn't make it up. It's actually a Western European origin, and there are it in the Netherlands. It stirred somewhat of a little controversy because it's a common name.
And I should just add that about 20 or so years ago, my siblings and I joined together and gave my father a vanity plate, which some might in this building consider offensive. It has four letters, and those are ACLU, as he is one of the co-founders of the ACLU of Oregon. The only result for that for me is I've had people observe him drive quickly by and say, is that your father in the ACLU license plate car? But, again, it leaves a lot of discretion to the agency, and it might be a time at some point to consider tightening the language even more. But for now, I hope you will pass this.
I have sympathy seriously for the Udink family. Having a name like Schaffler, it's constantly abused and butchered and mispronounced, and it's just life. What was the justification or explanation of DMV when they denied application for these folks using their last name, especially in light of the fact that they issued three before? Did they give an explanation?
The only explanation
it's on the back. And the testimony highlighted.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Dink has several derogatory meanings.
And I would assume more specifically they should have basis of race or national origin or something other than.
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, the email, which is the last page, we've highlighted.
There we are right there.
Essentially the reason why it was denied. I don't like it.
If I may,
Dink has
up.
Several derogatory meanings, and I think they may have watched the movie Platoon, but in fact, that is a derogatory derivative of someone of Vietnamese origin. But it is it is certainly not a common term, and some now decades later. It is even less of a common term.
Well, if I may, Madam Chair, I don't think I don't like it is a very legalistic denial.
And Madam Chair, you know, this is not an attempt to bash Department of Vehicles, because this is a I understand this is a common occurrence. The problem I have is that the process is arbitrary. There's a lack of sensitivity, a lack of cultural competence, which is a phrase we use quite commonly in this body. And I think it would be a little more sensitivity to someone's national origin and last name might be due.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Andre, can you tell us, I guess I'm having a hard time understanding why, I can understand any given plate that the government issues is governmental speech, but the minute you have a personalized plate, is the contention that we might confuse what is on the plate for something that the government might be putting out there?
Chair Beyer, Representative Collett, our contention was that this is your speech, that my father's ACLU and other people's ones are reflecting their position, just like you would put a bumper sticker.
And that would make common sense from personalized license plate.
He appealed the administrative process, and ultimately this went to the Oregon Supreme Court in Higgins v. DMV, and the court held that it was not protected speech under Article 1, Section 8, Oregon's free expression provision, and basically concluded that it was government speech, government issued, government regulated, and therefore they had the authority to regulate it. And they basically did no analysis under the First Amendment, but held that it likewise was not protected speech under the First Amendment. Needless to say, we disagree respectfully with the court on that, but it being the court of final authority on that issue, we have lost that that case and that
Wow.
ability. So, yes, one would naturally think to some degree that it is reflective of the person driving the car.
Madam Chair, if I just might, I'm surprised. I've never heard of anything not being protected by Article 1, Section 8 before, so this is a first for me.
Chair, by Representative Kyle, perjury still isn't. Yes, it was a 2002 decision, and it was decided Judge Durham wrote the opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll have to do a little thinking about this one, and I still have two more plates, and we don't have much time, so thank you so much. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2454. I'm going to open. We have some people from Portland, and this is a different plate, so House Bill 2569, and hopefully we can get through them all. Thank you. We can go ahead and get started so we can... We have a committee...
We have somebody from ODOT here, too.
They're in the back, and if anybody has questions, they can...
Okay. I'm Randy Miller from Portland, and I'm actually the appointed person from the Republic of Lithuania under the U.S. Department of State, which is here representing the Consular Corps, along with my Smokey the Bear, Bill Failing here, who is from the country of Luxembourg. I think it's really interesting to hear all this debate about these vanity plates, because when I first moved back from college in Boston, I'm the one that got this whole thing going back in 1970 with Tom McCall, and it was Ron Schmidt, if any of you knew him, who worked with me to get this legislation passed. And God, all these years later, I'm hearing all these fun stories about all the problems of administration. We want to acknowledge Dave Hunt in particular for helping us with this, and also the cooperation with ODOT for trying to help us prepare this bill that you have before you. Bill here is going to talk just a moment about what we do so there's no confusion, and then I want to talk a little bit about why these license plates can be effective and yet cost the state nothing.
I have to make one aside, if I may, Madam Chair and members of the committee, that I had no idea that Smokey the Bear would be preceding us today, and I went into the men's room and saw these fuzzy feet and wondered exactly where I was at that given moment. That said, A little bit of brief background on the Oregon Consular Corps.
I hate to be rude because we waited you make you wait this long, but we got to
We'll go fast. At any rate, I'm Vice Dean of the Oregon Consular Corps and also Executive Director of the Oregon Korea Foundation. I participated with the Governor's Trade Mission to Korea 2 years ago. So very much involved in international activities. The Oregon Consular Corps has been in existence for over 40 years. It is an entity consisting of career consuls, both Mexico and Japan, on a number of approximately 30 honorary consuls, and you have a little brochure that tells you who they are and which countries they represent. We're made up of consuls emeriti and ex officio members who have represented or currently represent foreign nations on Oregon soil. Foreign countries appoint honorary consuls, and the U.S. State Department has to approve before any of the consuls become official. Honorary consuls are involved in the leadership along with the career consuls, and we do pretty much the same things that the career consuls do, except we don't get paid for it. Some of the various functions that we perform are we're very much involved in trade issues. We meet with the Port of Portland on a regular basis. We meet with both state and federal trade representatives. We are involved with Homeland Security, the FBI, and we're there to foster cooperation and help when there are foreign nationals that run into trouble here. We are spokespersons on behalf of the country's culture, its tourism, trade. We work very closely with the World Affairs Council, and I think that it becomes very important in today's global environment, both from a point of the economic environment that we're in, as well as just understanding the world we live in, that the services that we provide probably are more important now than they've ever been. We've been recognized recently. The governor took the initiative to actually put a reception together to honor the service that the Consular Corps has provided. Most recently, Mayor Sam Adams has established a liaison with the Oregon Consular Corps to not only try to get countries represented that can have impact on Oregon, and I might say that right now we have a number of countries that are under consideration. The Philippines are very close to being represented here, Ukraine, China, Zimbabwe, and I'd really like to get India involved in this so we can really get this sort of meaningful relationship going. I think that's a brief background, Randy.
Okay. Just real briefly, the reason this issue arose is that the state's been issuing these for years. In fact, here's one from 1970 that we brought you. This is not a new deal. It was just that ODOT saw, I guess it was through the Attorney General's office, indicated that there was some change in legislation several years ago which no longer enabled them to. So they brought it to our attention. So we were working with them in an effort to write this bill, which Dave Hunt has sponsored, in an effort to empower ODOT to continue to create things, because all these other states do too. Confers no benefits at all. It's sort of like your legislative plates or other vanity plates. I mean, there's no benefit necessarily to it. But what it really assists is people that are foreign-born in our communities around the state when they see the plates. We get approached all the time from others not representative of our countries necessarily, but are looking for help, and they don't know where to go. They have language issues, they have administration issues, whatever. So we kind of assist them. So the visibility is what's really, really the most impactful thing here for us. So it's just new. It's just language adoption for something you've already done. And that's pretty briefly what it is.
That probably was one that got caught up in the cleanup bill that happened a number of years ago. So with that, seeing no questions, I hope. Thank you. Well, we'll go ahead and close. I appreciate your testimony, and I think we got everybody that
Good.
We needed to. And, well, we have one more hearing. But
okay.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill it is 2569, and open a public hearing on House Bill 2034. Thank you so much, gentlemen,
for
coming down.
Thank you for not me for the Randy Miller who roamed these halls for 20 years.
Yeah.
The other Randy Miller.
The other Randy Miller, yes. Mac and Paula. So, when Representative Greenlit comes in and throws this out, my apologies to you guys.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2034. I'll keep my testimony very brief. During the last session, there was a consolidation that I referred to in an earlier testimony that I provided to consolidate the veterans' license plates. During that time, one of the options that veterans have for their veterans license plate is to choose their branch of service, the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard. What we did not do is we did not include the insignia or the seal for the Merchant Marine veterans, and that's something that this bill would do. The Merchant Marine veterans served in World War II, served their country very honorably. Unfortunately, did not receive veteran status recognition as veterans until 1988. So that was quite an injustice to those members of the greatest generation that helped save the world, literally. As far as the cost, I've heard a lot of the cost about the $10,000 application. Because we've already accomplished the veterans license plate and a lot of the programming and the cost and everything's gone into that, it would be our hope that we could work with the Department of Motor Vehicles, and through the programming there may be some additional cost to get that one additional seal in there as an option, but that it would avoid the $10,000 or $26,000 or $71,000, the different numbers I've heard. So we wouldn't anticipate that it would be. However, when that does occur, the department does cover that cost. In fact, what we also do is we designed, printed, and provide the Department of Motor Vehicles with their veterans license plate brochures that they provide to all of their field offices. So thank you very much for the opportunity, and certainly I want to recognize we do have Merchant Marine veterans who traveled to come here today, and I had the pleasure of getting to talk with them for a while and thank them for their service, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Matt.
Matt McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. This bill basically is a no-brainer. They are veterans. They should rate a plate and put on the plate just as the Navy and the Marine Corps should. During World War II, the Merchant Marine had higher casualties, more people in prison, percentage-wise, than any other services. They certainly rate this plate, and I urge you, and I take the blame for not putting it on the last session. This should have been on, and I urge you to include this in the bills that pass this year.
Thank you. I guess we've all talked out. So with that, thank you for coming today, and committee, I'll be in touch with you on bills, and we'll close the public hearing, and we are adjourned, and my apologies.